Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuvah, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
The description today, in terms of the aspect I'm going to focus on, is appropriating the Jubilee blessings today. How do we appropriate those blessings? Keep in mind the Jubilee is a type and shadow of God's offer of salvation, deliverance, and restoration through His original intent and purposes for our lives in creating us in His image. And wanting, desiring to pour out His love and His blessing and His provision on us, the Jubilee is a type and shadow of that. And the Jubilee provisions, the promises that were made so long ago, are for us today. That ancient book, filled with ancient ways, contained principles and blessings and provisions that we can appropriate today. That's an amazing thing. The question is, how do I do that? How do I appropriate my Father who is in heaven, His goodness to my life? How do I do that? Now, let's just back up a little bit and review. First the natural, then the spiritual. It's a principle in God's Word, especially as it relates to types and shadows. So in the natural realm, God designed the Jubilee to bring an equal opportunity to everyone in every generation for physical freedom from slavery. Physical freedom from servitude and debt. Debt is a slave master too. And I want to say, the natural provisions are intact today as well. There are people that are suffering slavery around the world today. Do you realize the physical promise of deliverance is as good today as it was back in our ancestors' era? And it can be appropriated today? For those that are enslaved, if they learn to call out, God will hear, God will respond, and release them too. It's who God is. He's a liberator. Also promises for physical healing and health, physical prosperity and wealth. Like many of the provisions of the covenant, these were and remain conditional and inaugural, but will be consummated in the new creation to come. So what God has promised, He makes good on. And much of that can come to us in this life. It's inaugural, though. It's beginning. We get a foretaste of it. But the fullness is still coming. And that's in the new age to come, the new heavens and the new earth. That's when all of these promises are consummated. But those promises have broken into our present reality through Yeshua the Messiah. So in the spiritual realm, God designed the Jubilee to bring an equal opportunity to everyone in every generation for receiving the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's for everyone. Spiritual healing and wholeness for everyone. Spiritual riches and spiritual wealth. You know, I know when you're young, too, it's like, who wants spiritual wealth? I want, you know, physical wealth. But as you grow older, you realize that it's just paper. It doesn't make you happy. You might be able to buy some things, but you know what? It's not the ultimate. The ultimate thing is seeing your little grandkids running around, you know? When they reach up to you, they put their hands up, they want you to hug them. I mean, that's a spiritual wealth and a spiritual richness that's just amazing. Friends, family, you know, just everything that we have, spiritually speaking, is so powerful and transcendent over the natural realm. We need a balance of both, of course. And God has given us in the Jubilee a balance of both of that. Okay? All these provisions and promises, they are conditional. There's conditions associated. They're not just freely given. They come based on conditions. The Jubilee promises and provisions and blessings are available to any and all who believe in Yeshua the Messiah. That's the first condition. Do you believe? Have you put your trust in the Messiah? That's where it all begins. And then in him, all of that unfolds, is rolled out, comes to us in God's timing, in ways that are just beyond our wildest dreams. So, these provisions, they are in and through Yeshua the Messiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says this: "For as many as are the promises of God, in him, Yeshua, in him, they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us." In Messiah, they are yes and amen. Amazing. That's the condition. Have you embraced the Messiah? Are you in him? He is God's beloved to us. That's where everything gets traction. It's in him that restoration comes. So it all begins with him. And this gospel, this good news of what God offers through his Son, is to the Jew first. Romans chapter 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek." To the Jew first, then the Greek. So in our fallen state, through Adam, we all sinned, and we're alienated from God, lost in this world, confused, stumbling around, right? Falling into one addiction after another. Well, the good news is this, that God loves you enough that he came to free you, to save you, to forgive you, to show you the way home. That's the good news. It's to the Jew first, but it is the very power of God to save. It is a powerful, powerful, you know, salvation that comes through Yeshua to each and every one of us. I don't think there's a bigger crisis in our life than the crisis of making a decision for Christ. That's where all the warfare is. That's where everything gets kind of crazy. That's where all the pressure is. Because the enemy wants to keep you in his domain of darkness. The enemy wants to hold you back, lie to you, keep you in deception, so that you miss out on eternity. And God says, you know what? I'm coming to you. I'm giving you everything. All you need to do is receive it. It's in my Son. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you can have the new beginning that I've always intended to get to. But it comes through him first. To the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. I don't have time to develop that. That'll be an absurd. So let's go on. Acts chapter 17, 30 through 31. To the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. Here's the reference to the Gentiles. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent." So mankind fell, rebelled against God, fell, was alienated. God reached out. Mankind basically spit in his face, became so corrupt that God sent a flood to wipe out everyone but one family and start over. That was Noah, right? And then he says to Noah, what? Go, fill the earth, multiply and fill the earth. He gave Noah the same mandate that was given to our parents. And after that series of generations blew it, God started it all over with Noah. And then instead of going out throughout the world and fulfilling the mandate that God had given to humankind, they decided to all stay in the same locale and build a huge, huge structure to try to penetrate heaven. And it's called the Tower of Babel. And God says, that's it. I myself will scatter you to the ends of the world. And so God scattered them, and he divorced them. He divorced the nations and sent them away. And he handed them over to the rebel gods, those divine beings that rebelled against him with Satan in the beginning. And so they deserved each other. Rebels deserved rebels, right? So these rebel gods ruled over the rebels that were divorced by God. And then God took one man, Abraham, and said, from you I will make a nation unto myself, Israel. That's why it's to the Jew first. God's working with one nation, and through the Jewish nation, he then moves out to the Gentiles. But while he's working with the Jew first, and the nations are alienated, he kind of winks at their disobedience. I mean, what do you expect? They're in bondage. They couldn't get out if they wanted to. And so he winked at that, at their disobedience, calling it the times of ignorance. But now he says, now is declaring to men, the Gentiles of the nations, that all people everywhere should repent. So through one nation, he then reaches out to all the nations. And he's saying, from the point of the resurrection of Jesus, from this point on, I'm reaching out to the nations. And I'm commanding all people everywhere, repent, turn around, embrace my Son. Salvation is being offered to you. You have your freedom now. You have your second chance now. It's in and through my Son. So he commands everyone, everywhere to repent. Why? 31. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. First Israel, then the nations. This is what was earlier promised to Abraham. That through Abraham, he would reach out and save Israel. And through Israel, the Messiah would come. And through the Messiah, all the nations could experience salvation, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with the Creator, deliverance from the darkness of this world and the lies of the evil one that's held us back, causing us to miss what God had intended for us. So, let's talk about appropriating the Jubilee blessings. I call this religious appropriation. The whole world is enslaved through sin to the evil one who first sinned. The Apostle John is right when he states that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. If Christ is not your Lord and Savior, guess who is? The evil one. Whether you realize it or not, and most don't, that's why we call it deception. Most don't. But that is your Lord and Master. He's all about death, and all he hopes for is to capture you for an eternity, to keep you in his dominion forever. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He goes on to state, and this is true too, that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And God says, you know what? This is my creation, and I'm going to take it back. And he sent his Son, like the divine invader, he invaded this world to come and seek out the creation of God, to come and seek out men and women who are made in the image of God and say, you know what? Here's your way out. I've come to redeem you. This is the message of the good news. So John goes on to state that Jesus came to set free those held captive in darkness by delivering us out of the grip and dominion of sin, bringing this into the light of his kingdom, the light of liberty, dignity, and royalty. John puts it this way in his gospel. John chapter 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. The life of God, that indestructible love and life of God is in Jesus. And that's what draws men who are captivated and captive in darkness. John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. The light shined in this dominion of sin and shame, and it didn't quite understand what the light was. But the darkness knew that the light was a threat to its very structure, authority, power. It knew it was a threat. Verse 6, there came a man sent from God, whose name is John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Think about that. there was the true light, speaking of Jesus, there was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. I just love it when heaven gives special effects while I'm speaking. It could have been timed better, right? Hallelujah. I want to say this, and I want to be as clear as I can be. The Messiah was with God in the beginning. From eternity past, he is one with God. Distinct in person, yet one in essence, which means he's eternal. And I want to say he's the light and life of men. And the promise of God is that I'm going to redeem whosoever is willing. So the light has come into the world, and every human being has had one or more encounters with the light. Doesn't matter who they are. Every human being encounters the light. That's the love of God. So when the missionary gets a flat tire and can't make it to the village, it's okay. It's okay. Jesus is the Savior anyway. And the love of God will find every human being, and every human being will have an encounter once, twice, three times, many times with the light of God. I remember my first encounter. I remember I was a young boy, and I was sleeping in my bed downstairs in the dark basement, you know, and I was dreaming, but I didn't know I was dreaming, because you don't know it's a dream until you wake up and you go, oh, it's a dream. So in the dream, and I mean, it's real, right? So in the dream, I'm just in darkness, and I can't tell which way is up, down. I can't tell southeast, north, or west. I'm just falling, free-falling in this darkness, you know. And all of a sudden, I see a door. I see the frame of a door, and I see the light, because it's the light that I could see coming through that frame of that door. And so I kind of start swimming, because I was a kid, that's what you do in dreams, you know. So I'm in darkness. I'm making my way over there. But I did. I went over there, and I reached out, and I touched the door handle. Because I knew I had to get to the light. And I didn't even have any theological understanding or underpinnings of this concept that we find in John chapter 1. But nonetheless, as a young boy, I reached out, I touched that door, and when I touched the door, the handle itself opened all by itself. I kind of pulled back, opened all by itself, it opened up, and the light rushed and penetrated, went through me. It just struck me like a lightning bolt. And the love was so intense. I knew in my knower there was this communication with the light, the love of God. It was God. I knew it was God. It was so intense that all I could do is weep. The floodgates opened. I wept. And because I was weeping, I woke myself up. And then I'm like all choked up and still kind of crying. I'm thinking, what is that? And I'm thinking, it's a dream. It's a dream. No, I'll tell you what that was. That was my first encounter with Jesus Christ as a young boy. Coming to me to assure me of the love of God. It was amazing. It was part of my journey of coming to faith many years later. I believe every human being will have those encounters. And no one's going to stand there in eternity and say, I never had an encounter with the light. God says, no, no, no. I loved you enough to make sure you had an encounter with the light. You rejected the light. And therefore, you will die in your sin. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. God loves each and every one of us. John chapter 1, 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received Jesus, the light of the world, as many that say, Jesus, I receive you, you are the Son of the living God, you are the light of God to us, you are the salvation of God offered to us. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. As many that have done that, those have become the children of the living God. So you say, how do I do that? I mean, get more specific. Thank you. Romans 10, 8 through 9. Paul says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus, I confess before heaven that you are Lord, King over everything, and that God himself raised you from the dead. If you do that, you will be saved. And it's a big, mysterious process. I can't, qualify such a deep, spiritual phenomenon. But that's where it begins. God will do the rest. He will save you. He will change you. He'll clean you up. He'll set your feet dancing. an amazing life. I have no regrets, other than I didn't do it earlier. You know, it's just amazing. And everyone says amen that's ever done that, right? Verse 10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. How many people believe that Jesus is Lord? Yeah, any disappointed ones here? Anyone here saying, yeah, that was a disappointment. That never paid off. No, of course not, right? Goes on to say, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Think about that. I'm the way. What are you saying? He's saying, you know what? I'm the way. In this darkness, in this confusion, you know, being lost implies you've gotten off the road and you don't know where you're going, right? He's on the way. You'll find your bearings in me. You'll find your way home in me. You'll find your meaning and purpose in me. I am the way. You'll fall into a lifestyle that experiences this grace, this way of life. A beautiful expression of my love in you. He says, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. You'll experience liberation from every addiction to sin. He's the answer. He's the answer. You know, I've battled addictions in my life. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus set me free from those addictions. And I'm telling you right now, you know, if you've ever had an addiction, and I think everyone's battled with that at one point in their life, right? The very nature of an addiction is you can't get free. You've tried everything. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. You just give in after a while. You just say, you know, whatever. I want to tell you right now, Jesus is the liberator. He liberated me from all of my addictions. I don't have any addictions today. I still sin, but I sin less than I've ever sinned before. You know, I'm getting whole throughout my life. But that addiction phase of my life, he broke many, many years ago. He'll break your addictions too. He's the answer. We'll experience freedom from every form of slavery. Even those who are physically being enslaved throughout the world, the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the answer. The answer to the world problems that we see in so many different countries is the gospel. That's why America is so great. America has problems. That's true. We've got some problems. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. This is a great nation. The Judeo-Christian influence has brought so much blessing to so many people. So, when I go on, he says, I'm the life. In him, we receive the promise of an indestructible, eternal life. And by His Spirit, we gain a foretaste of what that will be like. It produces a joy deep down inside. An indescribable joy. A joy that is amazing and unspeakable. Yeah, just so intense. And we get our land back. Yeah, in the Jubilee, you get your land back, right? Think about this. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the land. Yeah, we translated earth, and that's exactly what's going to be in its fullest sense. So we get everything back in the end. In the new creation to come, the new heavens and the new earth, and it's ours. And we'll rule and reign with Messiah forever and ever. Reconciled with God, no fears. No addictions, no injustices, no anger, no disappointments. That's where we're going. And in Jesus Christ, we get a foretaste of that ahead of time. That's what we're experiencing in Him who already believe. So I just want to close with this really quick, because we don't have just 2 minutes here. How many people have put their faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. Most of you have. I want to speak to those today that have not done that. I want to say, what are you waiting for? He's the answer. The love of the Father has come to you through Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? He's the hope that's deep inside of you. The life that you desire. The freedom that your heart is longing for. Don't put it off. It's really simple. great life that has come to me through your Son. And I declare with my mouth that he is Lord and King. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my King. Come in and save me. I don't know what it's all about, but I know this is what my heart desires. So come in and save me. I believe that God raised you from the dead and that you're alive, and I invite you into my heart. If you do that, God will save you. If you do that, God will change you. If you do that, you will find life everlasting, purpose, meaning, joy, peace. It's almost said unbelievable. That's how great it is. It's believable. And you can ask anyone in here that has a relationship with Jesus what that's all about. So I'm going to leave with that. And if you desire to do that, talk to me or a staff pastor. You don't even need us. You can do it yourself. But when you do that, when you ask Jesus into your life, you got to tell some people. Tell some people around you. Let the staff know. We'll get you baptized and turned around and get your feet of dancing and go in the right direction. And we'll help you find your way. Together, we will make it. Hallelujah.
Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And we add, "In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha, Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Isa Adonai Panavaleka Ve'asemleka Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehilat Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov.